Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. You know, I listen to that song every time. I've heard it over and over and over. I never get tired of hearing that song because it so perfectly represents the platform that I promote, of wellness and feeling better and understanding that everything will be okay, you know, that we've all been hurt, but everything will be okay. So today's special guest, Marissa Costonis, is a health change guru. She's the owner of Change Bites, LLC, and a certified health coach by Institute for Integrative Nutrition, who helps people make easy changes in their eating habits one bite at a time, whether the food is the culprit or the cure. Marissa's book, Change Bites, is the only book that provides readers with a step-by-step guide for how to change eating habits and health regardless of eating style, including vegan, paleo, gluten-free, and keto diets. This process exposes the pitfalls and challenges of a food change, no matter how big or small. So if this rings true for you, you're going to really, really love what Marissa has to say. And I'm going to introduce her to you now. Good morning, Marissa.
Good morning, Randy, and thank you so much for having me on today.
You are so very welcome, and thank you for being my guest. And as I told you before we got on air, as one who has spent most of my life with symptoms that were undiagnosable by the medical profession and has used nutrition to change those things, this book rang very true for me. So you had a similar situation. You had some disorders that frustrated you, that sort of led you down this path. Can you tell us about that, please?
I did, and I do continue every day. And can I just say that your story and my story, it really resonates with more and more people throughout the country and the world than ever before. These mystery diagnoses, which really what they look like are just a bunch of problems start to pile up, and then they get to be such a problem that they interfere with your life. And there is no clear-cut solution, unfortunately. The way it happened for me is I noticed problems throughout my life. When I was in like eighth grade, I had mono, which the Epstein-Barr virus is a real root cause of many issues down the line that people have. So I had the Epstein-Barr virus back then and continued to have some immune system challenges. I was the first one to get sick and the last one to get better for many years after that. I found myself with lots of sinus infections. My digestive system was a mess. I was chronically constipated to the point where, you know, I was just shy of needing to be hospitalized because it was such a problem. And I continued to just have lots of different issues that built up over time, you know, between joint pain, again, digestive. And eventually one day, I remember I was standing in the kitchen cooking for a big family picnic. And I was standing there and I felt this wave of tingling go up and down my leg. And it was like almost like the chills, but a massive, like a massive tidal wave. And it was going up and down my leg multiple times, like this wave. And over the course of the next month, 2 months, 3 months, I noticed that this wave of tingling and numbness, it went from my left leg to my right leg. And then one night I was laying in bed with my husband and I said, oh my gosh, this is now spreading to my arms and up into my face, which was really scary. It reminded me of when I was pregnant, I ended up with Bell's palsy, which is when half your face is paralyzed. Again, sort of a viral, it can be stemmed from a previous viral infection, all probably stemming from the Epstein-Barr virus. But once this tingling and numbness took over my whole body and I went up into my face, I knew that all of these small issues that had led me to this point had really surfaced and they had come to a point. And I knew I hit my tipping point and I knew I had to do something about it. And it had to be big and it had to be fast.
That's very scary. And you say, I mean, like the first thing that comes to mind, and you actually say this in your book, is do I have MS, you know, some kind of serious neurological disorder, you know, you go there. And so you run to the doctor. And I'm
exactly.
Sure you went to the doctor. And what happened?
So, of course, the first place we go is our primary care physician. And I thought maybe I had Lyme disease. So many people in the Northeast have Lyme disease. It continues to be a huge problem. So I thought maybe that was it. So I went to my primary. They did a bunch of tests, came up negative. They sent me to a neurologist. I had a whole host of tests that they gave where they prick and they prod and they press and they take blood. I had a brain scan, you know, an MRI. You name it, I went through it with the neurologist. And you know, the good news and the bad news is that they didn't find any lesions on my brain indicating MS. And they kind of sent me on my way and said, well, you don't have MS, you know, good luck with that. And I thought, well, now what? In fact, at one point I wanted to call the book, Now What? Because
Right. You
know, we all kind of hit this point where if your blood work looks good and, you know, my doctor had said the year before after physical, he said, boy, I wish all my patients look like you.
Yes.
And I'm sitting there thinking, boy, I hope they don't.
Yes, I've had that experience. Wow.
So, you know, I was kind of left to fend for myself and figure out what the heck to do. And, you know, unfortunately, it took several years, and my story is very similar to many other people. It took several years. It took a lot of different wellness practices, functional medicine helped. I went to all kinds of alternative doctors and wellness practices, and I tried a variety of different healing practices and wellness practices to try to figure out what was wrong with me, and most importantly, to get some relief from some of these symptoms. And what I found is that after several years and several different people, I started to put all the pieces together from all the different people that I had seen. And it started to, it really is a puzzle. And you start to put all these pieces together like, oh, okay, well, the sinus and the digestion is tied to the viral load body. And then I eventually had a test, and I found that my metals were through the roof. They were over five times the level, the appropriate amount of levels in your body. This is also common with patients with MS. And I started to get some tests that really were giving me some answers and putting it all together. So I finally sat in front of this one doctor, and he said to me, "I think we figured this out. And I think we figured out that, you know, between the Epstein-Barr virus, the high metal load in your body, that, you know, this is the source of your problem." So I was thrilled. And then he said, "What I want you to do, Marissa, is I want you to give up all gluten, in fact, all grains, dairy, sugars, any kind of processed food, and then I want you to partner certain foods with other foods." And he started talking, and it was like my mind went blank. I thought to myself, I left in a daze, and I got in my car, and first I was in shock, and then I started crying. It truly is like the death and dying process, which Elizabeth Kubler-Ross created the change curve for the death and dying process. That's actually the foundation for so many change curves used in business and for my methodology as well. So I was going through the death, you know, the stages of death, shock, and then just complete and utter sadness. So I'm sitting in my car crying, saying, if I give up all those foods, what the heck am I supposed to eat now? And how on earth am I going to get from where I eat to how I eat today to how this person wants me to eat? And so I see I'm 100% Italian. So, you know, for us and our family, I mean, we're planning the next meal before we're finished eating the first one. If you had walked into my house before my diagnosis, I would tell you to take a seat. You know, I try some of this salami. I'm making some meatballs. You're going to love this lasagna. You know, try all these different foods. And it's funny. I was even teaching one of my little cousins. She's 5 years old. Absolutely adorable. And she was saying, I said to her, this is how we do it. If somebody asks you, can I get you a piece of something, or would you like some leftovers to take, or would you like a little appetizer? And they say no. We say, okay, here you go. You can just try a little piece of this. You'll love it. So we started practicing, and it was so funny because then we ended up, that happened. My aunt came by, and she said, I said, do you want some leftovers from Christmas? And she said, well, no, that's okay. And I said, here you go. Let me just give you a little bit. So just to give you a sense of kind of where my mindset was in terms of food, and needless to say, it was a huge part and still continues to be a huge part of my life. So,
yeah.
So it was,
go ahead.
No, I was just, it had me feeling kind of paralyzed, and I didn't know what to do or where to go or how to start. So after some time, I started to, you know, I talked to my husband, and I came home, and I thought, wait a minute, you're supposed to be a change expert. And I thought, oh, well, that's my past life. You know, I spent well over 10 years in corporate consulting, management consulting, and I did change management where I helped organizations all over the world through major transformational initiatives. And my job was to help the executives to lead the employees through these massive changes. Structured organizations, I mean, I've helped companies through all kinds of change. And I thought to myself, you're a change expert. Why not try to take some of those principles and practices and tools that you've used for so many years and see if it will help you apply to your health change? Because when I went out and I started to look at how to change my diet and how to change my eating habits, all I could find were these perfect little before and after pictures of health transformations. And look how easy, and this is how I used to look, and now I'm so great. And, oh, it's so easy with just, you know, just change how you eat. And I thought to myself, nobody is addressing that middle space of before and after.
Food is love. Food is companionship. Food is, you know, acts as so many. It's comfort. You know, it acts as so many other things than just diet. I've given up dairy. I've given up in anything. Now, because of a digestive condition, I have to do no citrus. I love tomatoes. I've had to give up tomatoes. I mean, I'm down to like three things, you know. And it's just been. What am I going to eat? So what did you figure out?
So I immediately started on a massive, you know, when we're faced with a problem, we often start to go head in. And I started buying all these foods and I started, you know, making all these changes as much as I could and doing all these wellness practices. And what I found is I started getting so caught up in the changes that I was trying to make that I kept my eye off the ball in terms of why I was.
We keep losing you. You keep fading out. Are you on a cell phone? Marissa?
Is that any better? Yeah.
We lost you again. I can hear you now, so don't move.
Okay, is that better?
I can hear you, yes, but you've dropped off three times. Okay. All right.
Oh, gosh.
So,
okay.
Continue. Okay.
So what I decided to do is stop and think about not how I was going to, what foods I was going to eat, but I decided to stop and say, what if all this went away? What if my life wasn't about wellness practices and different foods that I can and can't eat? What would that look like? And I created kind of a vision, a strategic vision, which is what we do for companies all the time. And I literally created a vision board for what I would be able to do with my health once I didn't have to think about these problems anymore. I envisioned myself stand up paddling in the ocean or walking through a farmer's market or playing tennis or taking a hike, making a food change.
You just dropped off again. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, no. Let's try this. Let me try to move and see if it makes a difference.
Okay, yeah. I don't want to miss anything that you have to say. And I know you don't want me to, or want the listeners to.
Is that any better?
I mean, for now it is. Like, you'll talk, and then all of a sudden it'll just drop, and there'll be nobody there.
Oh, dear. All right, well, let me give this a try in this spot and see if it's any better.
Okay, hopefully.
Okay. So what I decided to do is create this vision that was not focused on the food. It was focused on the why I was changing. And I really started to sense a shift. And once I was focused on my vision of what I was going to do, and I kept picturing my life without any of these health problems, the whole emotional piece just became a lot easier. And then I could really kick into action. And this is what we tell clients in business all the time, right? You can go down a path of a plan, but if you don't have that vision in your mind at all times, it's really hard to have the right plan. So then I had to really get to the plan. And I said, all right, well, I know how to do a change plan. So I started to create literally a change plan for my eating habits and my new way of eating. And what it did is it focused on what I call personal best foods. And personal best foods are not the foods that you have to give up. So the focus shouldn't be on, I can't eat this, I can't eat this, I can't. Go back to a list, and I created a list of all these different whole foods. Fruits, vegetables, grains, beans. I mean, I couldn't eat grains, but, you know, beans and all these other foods that I could eat. And I started to make lists. I can eat this, I can eat this, I can eat this. And I stopped and I took a step back and said, wait a minute. I forgot how many great foods there are out there because I was too busy eating just the few that were in front of me. We start to get into these habits. So I created this list of personal best foods. And this is what I use with clients today. And I put it on my refrigerator. I put it on my phone. I started to brainstorm all the different ways that I could incorporate these fruits and vegetables and beans and legumes into my diet. And all of a sudden, eating became all the things I could eat and all the creative ways that I could use these different foods and incorporate them into my diet. So between having a vision and starting with that and then working off the positive aspect of it around the personal best foods, I started to really have some fun with it. And then from there, it's about thinking about what are all the things that I need to make this work. So, for example, let's say tomorrow you wanted to learn Italian. And you say, just like we do with diets, right? We say, starting on Monday, I'm going to stop eating sugar. Or I'm going to lose 10 pounds on Monday. All right, I'm going to learn to speak Italian on Monday. Well, the desire alone to learn a new language isn't enough. And unfortunately, we're all kind of taught, the desire alone to lose weight or change how you eat, it's not enough. So what do you need when you learn a new language? Well, maybe you use a new tool. Maybe you go online and you do one of those Rosetta Stone. You get a program. Maybe you find a friend and you start to practice. Those are the kinds of approaches that we need to use with our diet. So, for example, I said, how am I shopping for food? How do I streamline this process to make it as simple as possible? So I started to get online delivery of foods every week to streamline the process and make it simpler. And they were always filled with my personal best foods. Okay, well, that took care of that. I always have the products, the foods in my house. And then I made lists of, okay, well, what am I going to make for snacks? And I kept the snack list on my board. And then that became part of my delivery process and the foods that were delivered. And then I stepped back and said, well, wait a minute. I started doing what a lot of people do. I don't know if this has happened to you. You go on Pinterest or these recipe sites, and next thing you know, you have 300 recipes with all these individual ingredients, and nobody ever makes anything. They go back to the same three things.
Right.
I said, what is, I don't know, does that sound familiar?
Oh, I have so many copies of recipes, it's unbelievable, that I don't use.
Exactly, and the cookbooks too. So
right.
What I did is I thought, well, what if I came up with 10 what I call recipe techniques? And what it is it's a style of cooking. So let's say an example would be a stir fry. Okay, a stir fry is a process. It's basically a technique, and I can incorporate.
Okay, you dropped off for a second there. You dropped off for a second,
okay.
And you're a little bit.
How's
fuzzy.
That? Better?
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Okay. So I thought, if I use this technique of stir fry, I can incorporate are you there?
I am, but we lost you again.
Okay. All right. I have like the fastest internet that we have that's possible, and I can't believe this is happening.
Okay.
Is that better?
For now. So you're on an internet phone, and they're not so reliable. Okay. That happens.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So I started to really come up with these 10 techniques that could be used with a variety of foods. Again, kind of focusing on the positive and thinking about how to make this process really easy. And I came up with this list, and then it was 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. I was able to look in my drawer in the refrigerator, look in my pantry, look in my freezer, and pick from these 10 lists of recipe techniques. And this is what I call food flexibility. So it allows you to take whatever you've got on hand and whip up a meal, a snack, a dinner in no time. So I started to just down this path, and I kind of honed the process. And then I stepped back and I thought, well, wait a minute, what else do we do in business that makes a business transformation successful? Because 90% of all business transformation projects are actually successful, but yet 95% of all diets fail. So I thought, well, wait a minute, what are some of the other things that we do in business? In business, we hire consultants. We have a lot of communication. We partner with other different organizations that are going through different changes. We connect employees. So I thought, well, this whole idea of finding my tribe, I couldn't do this on my own. So
I talked to my friends, I talked to my family about what my new way of eating was going to look like. So when I went to a party or a family dinner, I had support. And what I found is that other people very much want to help, but they need to know how. And they need to know specifically how to help you. And what I found in my practice and in my research is that without this tribe of family and support, it's very difficult to create sustainable changes to your diet and your health without that constant communication and support. And these are just a few of the business and pieces of the methodology from business that really apply and apply very well to making a food change and a health change.
And you call that the five bites to health, right?
I do.
Okay. And I think that's a really good approach, because there's many times I look at I open my refrigerator, I open my cabinet, I'm like, there's nothing there. What am I going to eat? I do that all the time, and I'm like, oh, there's nothing to eat. All right, I'm going to have popcorn for dinner. You know, it's like sometimes, you know, I have done that, you know, and then I'm married, so then my husband's looking at me like, what are we going to eat? And it's, you know, it gets to be frustrating, but I like that. I like, you know, that idea. The other thing is that I know how to cook, and I'm a good cook, but I don't enjoy it. So, and a lot of times these kind of diets require a lot of chopping up of fresh things. You know, it's not like you throw something, you know, under the broiler.
Right.
It's a lot of prep work. So, you know, it is something to get used to. I mean, everything I make requires lots and lots of work. So,
it is time consuming.
It can be. But so tell us about the results, like what you have found by changing diets, what people are experiencing.
What I find is that making what I say one change is one bite at a time and really working through a transition plan, again, not unlike the way the transition plans that we use with businesses. You know, if you think about Whole Foods and Amazon, and when they merged, they didn't sign the deal on Saturday, and then on Monday, all of the, you know, all of the stores and Amazon were merged. They did. You have a phased approach. I also actually equate this to, you know, imagine your it takes 18 years for your children to grow up and graduate from high school, but can you imagine if all of that happened in 18 weeks? Like, it's too much change. Too soon. I think that I would argue that I would probably send the kids back somewhere if I could, if it happens that fast.
Oh my gosh, too
kind
much.
Of how, way too much change. And that's kind of how I think about a real food and health transformation. You know, if you're really going to try, you know, on Saturday to make a decision, and on Monday to say, I'm never going to eat sugar for the rest of my life, I'm never going to eat gluten for the rest of my life. You know, obviously there are, if you're celiac and you're diagnosed with celiac, you should never eat gluten for the rest of your life. But to change everything on day one, it's just not sustainable. And that's why so many diets fail. So my suggestion, and worked with me and my clients, is to really take a slower approach. And to what I do, I identify what I call quick hits. And we did this in business. Okay, if I know I want to give up grains and dairy and gluten, what can I do tomorrow? Right? What are a few things I can change tomorrow to get started? Because so many times with these big changes, they're just too overwhelming. Most times people either A, don't get started and they say, oh, it's not worth it, or B, they go gung-ho, and then after a week, a two, or a month, they go back to eating the same way. So
True. This
one bite at a time approach, it just works time and time again. It's not quite as sexy as, you know, as a diet that's going to be, a major crash diet, but it is sustainable. So I started to make these small changes using foods I loved today. And I started to think about, well, how can I upgrade my meal? So, you know, I posted on Instagram this morning an example. You know, I used to eat this full-fat Greek yogurt with the cherry sauce on the side, and it was my favorite breakfast. It was my favorite. And I had to have one every day. So instead of jumping to, you know, a plain non-dairy yogurt, which sounded awful just by itself, I started to make some slow changes, I tried a bunch of non-dairy yogurts, and I found one or two I liked. Then I switched to the fruit version of those. So they were still a little too high in sugar, but it was moving me on my path. And then from there, I started adding some nuts and some seeds and some dried fruits that I enjoyed, again, focusing on the foods I liked. And then eventually I switched to the vanilla version. And then the last phase was to just switch to a completely plain version with no sugar in it. And I top it with cinnamon or even a little drizzle of honey in my transition as well. And now I can't even remember when I used to eat the other type of yogurt snack or breakfast. So that's just an example, and we can do this with all of our meals, whether it's dinner or lunch. Is what small change can I make to this meal today? And then you keep building and building upon it until you look back and you think, oh my gosh, I can't even remember when I used to drink, you know, 10 sodas in a day, or I used to have tons of coffee with three sugars in every cup of coffee every day. You know, you start to look back and really reflect on your success and how far you've come, even though they just all started with a few little changes.
Right. So are there certain foods that everyone should really avoid? And I mean, obviously sugar. Gluten is kind of the newfangled thing that everybody's supposed to avoid, but really the problem is more with the wheat, unless, like you say, you know, you have celiac disease or some disease that is, you're gluten sensitive. Wheat is a real problem in our diets today because it is processed and it has things in it that are very poisonous for our digestive system. So what do you recommend people start with if they want to feel better?
What I recommend is that, you know, it's funny because people have a good sense of what foods may or may not bother them. But most of us, and I'm including myself in this, because I was in denial for a long time that gluten was a problem for me. And what we find is that people get really emotional, angry when other people give up those foods. So when I used to talk to people that had given up gluten, I was like, how could you do that? I could never do that. And I face that a lot now, eating the way I do today. People have very aggressive reactions. So it's because we all kind of know, but we're in denial. So what I recommend to people is that they start with an elimination. So keep a food diary and start to track the foods you eat today and identify some of the symptoms that you want to get rid of. So maybe it's heartburn, maybe it's bloating, maybe it's a headache, maybe it's some joint pain, you know, a bunch of different, it can be little things. Maybe it's a good night's sleep. And you start to identify those symptoms, keep a food diary, and then pick a couple of high allergen foods and take them out of your diet for a few weeks completely and see how you feel and track yourself and your symptoms. So take gluten or dairy or nut or peanuts or eggs or soy or corn. Those tend to be heavy in our diet. And start to, as you take those out, identify all the new foods you forgot about, all the fruits and vegetables and beans and legumes and other seeds and foods that you forgot about, and start to focus on adding them in. But what I find that everyone knows is they start to listen. They start to listen to their body, and their body has all the answers. So I gave up gluten. I used to have bloating. My belly was so bloated. My mother, my grandmother, my aunt all had bloated bodies. And we're little. I have a little frame. And after dinner, I would look down at my belly, and I looked 4 months pregnant. And I thought, my gosh, I was just in denial about it. I knew there was something wrong. I mean, you shouldn't look 4 months pregnant after dinner.
No.
Not usually. So I ended up taking gluten out, and I was shocked. I didn't need a test. I didn't need somebody to tell me. I really saw right there and then that gluten was a problem for me. And so gluten became a trigger food. And while I didn't have celiac, it was a trigger food in that it took a while for me to give it up completely. I kept saying, oh, I can just have a little. Oh, it's okay. I can have it once in a while. And then I would get these cysts on my face for like 2 weeks at a time. I would have this massive bloating and digestive problems. And finally, you go back and forth. And finally, you say to yourself, I just can't be in denial anymore. This just isn't a good food
right.
for me.
I eat this and I suffer. Right? Why should
That's
I eat
right.
this and suffer? Right.
That's right.
Exactly.
So I think...
Mm-hmm.
That's the method.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, and when I was trying to give up sugar, what I did was, and I kind of did it, you know, in steps. I gave up sugar, but I went to fruit. And probably
yeah.
the highest sugar fruits that were there, you know, just to transition myself off of pure, you know, just processed sugar and things like that. And then I gradually dropped off from the fruit, you know, to the point where I was eating low glycemic fruits. And then I stopped having the cravings. But, you know, it's very difficult to stop sugar cold turkey because you do get withdrawal symptoms from it.
100%. And, you know, we talked about the emotional components of a food change, but there's also a very physical connection that we are addicted to so many different foods in our diets. And sometimes just changing your routine and changing it up and replacing it with other things is a good way to start that transition, because that physical connection and addiction, man, it's real.
It is. It is. When I, you know, if I eat sugar and then I try to get off of it, I have such hunger. That's how it affects me. It makes I feel so hungry that I can never satisfy that hunger. It's this sugar calling to me, eat me, eat me, eat me.
That's right.
And I
that's
go,
right.
No, I'll be hungry, but I'm not eating you. So that's the thing. That's the thing.
But you listen to your body.
Right. Exactly. So. What else is there any other messages that you wanted to share with us, you know, that I didn't necessarily bring up?
I think the other thing is to just really be honest with yourself about how much change you can stomach at any given time. Some people, you know, everybody eats differently today, right? But there's nobody that doesn't want to. Nobody eats perfect 100% of the time, every single day. And nobody eats exactly the same every single day from another person. So I guess the point I want to make is be honest about where you are and where you want to go and how quickly you want to get there. And just be honest about how much change you can make. And set the bar and just keep setting the bar up and up and up. And then, you know, in my book, I even talk about once you learn how to make a gradual food change, you can then use the methodology to transition to safer beauty products or pesticides, or even take a look at your workout and say, you know, I used to run 10 miles a couple times a week and now I'm hurting. And is that really working for me? And so taking some time to say, is it working? And when is it time for a change? And being kind to yourself about it and letting yourself, listening to your body, and taking cues and following your own body's messages to you. Just cutting yourself a break.
Yes. It's so important that we kind of go back to getting out of our heads, what's in our heads and our thoughts and patterns, and going back to our intuition. Because if we listen to our body, we listen to our minds, it tells us what we need to do. Always.
That's right.
But we're so used to overruling that and sort of going into the thought process. You know, and I know when I gave up gluten, and I don't have celiac disease, I don't have any reason to give it up, I lost a lot of weight. And now I think I could probably eat it, but I don't want to because I love bread and I love pasta. And I'll go right back to that. So if I say to myself, I'm gluten-free, that keeps me from eating the bread and the pasta. So it's a mindset.
100%.
So Marissa, your book is called Change Bites, Change Your Plate. Change Your Life, 5 Change Management Strategies to Transform Your Health. And you are a health coach, right? Health coach?
I am, correct.
Okay, so if anyone wants to work with you, how would they get in touch with you?
So you can go to my website. It's www.changebites.com. And you can connect with me there. Also, if you have the book, you can have access. There's a variety of worksheets throughout the book that take you through the process step by step. And you can gain access to a member-only section on my website where you can print out additional worksheets to help guide you through multiple changes. You can also follow me on Instagram at @change_bites. And I'm also on LinkedIn and Facebook, and I'm always posting different recipes and tips for making slow changes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Have a book signing. Yeah, it's a lot of fun and easy. It looks it should always be easy. And I have a book signing coming up in Philadelphia next week that you'll see on my website. And I also have individual group clients, and I'm working with organizations as well.
Oh, very good. So do you work remotely with people? You know, I mean, nowadays you almost have to have, you know, like work with people that don't live in your town through video conferencing or telephone or things like that. Do you do that?
I do. Okay. And, you know, I try to stay close to my community. I work with, local gyms or different fitness groups because that one-on-one connection once in a while, it is very rewarding. But it's amazing how much you can accomplish through video chats these days and
yes,
online. So
exactly. And your book, Change Bites, is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
That's
online,
correct.
I would imagine.
That's correct. It's on Amazon, and it should be on Barnes & Noble soon, but it's on Amazon right now, and there's also an ebook version available as well.
Okay, perfect. Oh, wow. Thank you. Well, I learned a lot from you today. As much as I've been doing this, it never hurts to have some new strategies. And I could see where they would work in my life. So so I appreciate that. I appreciate that. That's great. Thank you. And I wish you great success with this book. But really, the success is in helping people and changing people. And if we can get that message out and create health, a health conscious society, that's so important, and I know that would be valuable to you. So thank you for your work. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Randy. You're right. It's very rewarding just having my own health, but just helping other people through the transformation process. It's a gift. So thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. Okay. Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.